ॐ नमः प्रणवार्थाय शुद्धज्ञानैकमूर्तये निर्मलाय प्रशान्ताय दक्षिणामूर्तये नमः। निरञ्जनं नित्यमनन्तरूपं भक्तानुकम्पातुतविग्रहं वै ईशावतारं परमेशमीड्यं तं रामकृष्णं शिरसा नमामि। यथाग्नेर्दाहिका शक्ति रामकृष्णे स्थिता हिया सर्वविद्यास्वरूपान्तां सारदां प्रणमाम्यहम्। प्रपन्नपारिजाताय स्तोत्रवेत्रैकपाणये ज्ञानमुद्राय कृष्णाय गीतामृतदुगे नमः। सदाशिवसमारम्भां शङ्कराचार्यमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्तां वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम्।
आत्मस्वरूपम् is revealed by the Vedas as Brahma Swarupam, as infinite nature, and as Ananda Swarupam. Ananda Atma Brahma Pucham Pratishta. Upanishad says this Atma is Ananda Swarupaha. It has infinitude as its reality.
आनंदो ब्रह्मे दिव्य जानात् आनंदाद्येव खल्विमानि भूतानि जायन्ते आनन्देन जातानि जीवन्ति आनंदं प्रयन्ति अभिसंविशन्ति इति।
इन तैत्तिरीय उपनिषद ए डिसिपल अप्रोचेस द गुरु, ओ लॉर्ड, ओ गुरुदेव, प्लीज टीच मी व्हाट इज माय रियल नेचर। द गुरु an answer that your real nature is infinitude, you are the embodiment of happiness. If this is the case, why everyone is searching for happiness? If I am having happiness as my real nature, then the question comes, why I am searching for happiness and why I am always in suffering or troubles? Why I want to get away from suffering? The answer from the Upanishad is because of your misplaced search. What it is you don't know, therefore you want to get it. When a jiva comes to this world, talks first time with a voice, kwa kwa kwa. A child cries a kwa kwa kwa. In Sanskrit, kwa means where. Where is that? Where is that? What? Where is that? Where is that? Where is that ananda? Where is that happiness? If you analyze our life, everyone is busy in some pursuits or the other. Everyone is busy. You stand sometime near the road and stop one by one and ask where you are going. He will tell one place. For what if you ask, he will tell the reason for it. So everyone is busy with lot of goals in their mind. All the goals either to get rid of suffering or to get the happiness. You ask a school boy, he'll tell, I am going to school. Then I ask, why you want to go to school? He'll say, my mother told, if I study well, I will get degree, and by that degree I will get employment, then of course salary, by salary I will get happiness. For all our human pursuits, the ultimate goal is happiness. The pursuits may be short term or long term goal. It varies from individual to individual, it varies from time to time. What goal I had in my childhood, now I don't have. In my childhood, I want to be always playful with my friends and toys and balloons. Now these things don't appeal to me. So varieties of means are adopted by every individual. Means are varied, methods are varied, but the goal is happiness, which expresses in three ways. Everyone wants security, a secured life. All our bank deposits, insurance, all for the sake of security. And everyone wants to have a peaceful life without any war or without any quarrel in the house. Everyone wants to lead a peaceful life and everyone wants to be happy in life. Two soldiers, they were talking in a military camp. One soldier is unmarried, another soldier is married. So one soldier, unmarried soldier, was telling, "I love war. I am happy when the war happens, therefore I joined the army. I love war, therefore I joined the army." The married man, another soldier, he was telling, "I love peace." He is a married man. "I love peace, therefore I have joined the army, leaving my house." So both means are different. What they wanted is same, but the means were different. One person wanted to get rid of the trouble, therefore he joined the army. Another person wants to have the trouble, therefore he joined the army. So trying to get the security, peace and happiness, in a general way, we all know that either by wealth, getting wealth, or by getting power, or by entertainment. What is the result by these efforts? As long as I don't get the wealth, I am always in search of wealth. After getting the wealth also, then the question comes again, what next? The Tambura Shruti, they call it. In a musical concert, there will be lot of musical instruments which will be playing in its own notes, music notes. But there will be one tambura backside, they call it Shruti. Dang, dang, dang. Nothing it will play. No notes, nothing. Same notes it will play. What is that tambura Shruti? I want, I want, I want, like that. From the childhood onwards it started, I want toys, I want balloons, I want friends. Then as even I grow, Tambura Shruti is not changed. I want Tambura Shruti not changed. Then again, I want not the balloon or toys, I want some other thing, education, I want employment, I want money, I want wealth, like that. Then after getting that also, again one more step I go, I want power and position, name and fame. Having lot of name and fame and power and position and wealth, what I will do if I don't able to be able to enjoy the life? Therefore I go for entertainment. So our journey is from an ordinary unhappy man to a powerful, wealthy, intelligent, unhappy man. Unhappy man is the epithet, always comes with us. So I lack something, I miss something. Everyone you ask, anybody you ask, how are you? You will put a fine, you will tell fine, but put a comma next to that fine. There is no full stop. If you have time, he will tell all his stories. Everybody has their own stories. Here Upanishad says that as long as you search for something which is going to be a permanent one with you, which you want to be as a permanent one, how can you search from the impermanent things? Apurnam plus apurnam equal to apurnam only, not purna. So half plus half equal to one, generally we say. But it happened, instead of half plus half, it becomes half multiplied by half. What happens? It becomes 1/4 quarter. That is the reason we fail again and again very successfully. And the Upanishad asks us, have you any leisure time to think about whether the search is in a proper direction? Because if the direction is wrong, however much we struggle, we are not going to get the thing which we want. What we want? Happiness. So immediately I ask, when you want to be happy? The answer generally comes, I want to be always happy. I want to be happy always. It is not either morning or evening or Monday or Tuesday only I want to be happy, other days I want to be unhappy. I want to be happy always. Then where you want to be happy, whether in your house or in office or in entertainment time, where you want to be happy? Then he says, I want to be happy in all places. So my search for happiness is combined with an idea that I want to be happy always at all situations. In Sanskrit it is called Nitya Anandaha, that is permanent Anandaha I want, Niradishaya Anandaha I want. My happiness should not be depend upon some situations. So I want Nitya Anandaha and Niradishaya Anandaha. Then Upanishad just asks again, if you want to have a permanent happiness, permanent means it should be here and now, it should be available always. So that is the meaning of permanent. If you want permanent happiness, it should be available here and now. Something which is available now and here, why you want to search? I hope you are getting that idea. I want happiness, I want permanent happiness, I want happiness at all the places. If it is available in all the places, I should get it now, here. If it is available always, I should get it now. So, searching for a thing, a permanent happiness is ridiculous. But all the time we are searching for that one. See? It shows how our direction is wrong. Anything which is available now and here should not be searched after. Then the person says, the very fact I am searching shows that I am not having it. If I have, why should I search? The very fact that I am searching for happiness shows that I am not having it. So Upanishad says, not that in its absence you are not having, not that the happiness is absent, therefore you are searching and trying to get it, but you don't know that it is there. Like a beggar, he was begging, sitting in a place on a pedestal. So there was a sannyasi, he also was begging only. So he was going, this professional beggar asked begging from the sannyasi. The sannyasi told, see, I am also your category only. I also don't have anything. But you beg for your livelihood, I don't beg for my livelihood. It is my dharma, so therefore I have to keep my body alive. So therefore, in the name of the Lord, I do this duty. But I can remove your beggary. How? That the beggar, the professional beggar was very much interested in the words of sannyasi. He told, please tell, how can I be a rich man? Then the sannyasi told, remove your seat on which you are sitting. The sannyasi was having a capacity to know what is inside the ground. Just by seeing the place where he was sitting, he could see that there is a treasure. There is a big treasure. So he told, you remove this place, pedestal or a chair, and start digging. Then the beggar told, what Swami, you are putting mud on my livelihood. I have only one place, this place only. And if I start digging this place also, where I will sit, where I will sleep? Then the sannyasi told, no, there is a big treasure inside the place on which you are sitting. Then the beggar told, my father also was begging, my grandfather also was begging. If there is a treasure there, why they did not take it out? Sannyasi somehow managed to convince him, and when the beggar started, he got the treasure. He has not earned this treasure, but he has recognize that treasure is there all the time with us. Similarly, Upanishad also says, everyone is searching for happiness without knowing that they are the embodiment of happiness. Everyone is searching for security, one security, without knowing that they are the only secured thing in the entire creation. So, the ignorance is the cause pointed out by the Upanishads. Recognition, a mere recognition, a mere knowledge about that treasure makes me a wealthy person. I am not going to earn it, produce it, I am going to own it. I am going to recognize it, I am going to own it. There was a king, one day he went to forest for hunting along with his son, small son. But in the forest, he has lost the son. The boy was lost, so with lot of worry, the king came back to palace. The son was adopted by a hunter and he was loved by that hunter very nicely. The son also totally convinced that my father is hunter. He forgot totally his king for kingly father. So after many years, when the minister came for hunting again to the same place, he found this boy, young boy. And as soon as he saw that young boy, he could recognize that this is the boy who was lost. He is the prince. So he went to the young boy. He told, "You are the prince, you come to palace." Then the youth told, "Oh, you want to kidnap me? I have my hunter father. If I shout, he will come and kill you. Get away from here," he told. Then the minister told, "You know, it is a fact. You are the prince. If you have any doubt, you call your father." The hunter father came and he told, "Yes, 15 years before, I found this boy in the forest and I have taken care of him all these days." Then the minister pointed out a mark which is given to every child born for a king, a Raja Mudra, they call it. Raja Mudra. So he has shown the Raja Mudra to the prince and ultimately took the prince to the palace. When the king saw the Raja Mudra on the body of the youth, he also recognized this is the lost son. The son who was lost when I went to hunting. Here Upanishad also says, as long as a guru, a teacher comes in the life of a jiva, he is always thinking that I am a beggar, I am a hunter, like that. So all the time his life continues to be a struggling one. By Ishwara Krupa or by Guru Krupa, when he gets that satsanga, immediately the person recognizes his own great nature, his own kingship. Here he has not earned any kingdom, but just by recognition of his birthright as a prince, he could earn entire kingdom as his property. Upanishad says, you think so far yourself as apurna vastu, as a limited being. Identifying yourself with your body, mind, complex, all the time you are thinking that he is my relative, this is my body, this is my wealth, like that. As long as you identify yourself with your small, limited individuality, your search will be continuing. And you will never be happy even if you get the entire world as the property. In Kathopanishad, Upanishad says, "Na vittena tarpaniyo manushyaha." So your real nature is mahantam vidumatmanam matva dhiro na shochati. Your real nature is mahantam vibhum. Mahantam vibhum iti atmanam yatva dhiraha. He becomes a wise man, then na shochati. And are you going to get this one as the end of any process? Upanishad says, no. Shrinvantu vishve amrutasya putra aye dhamani divyani tatsu vedahametam purusham mahantam aditya varnam tamasah parastat. Shrinvantu vishve amrutasya putra, it says. Amrutasya prapta, he doesn't call us. Amrutasya putra. Hey, children of immortality. That means it is my birthright. To be happy is my birthright. To be secure is my birthright. To be peaceful is my birthright. But what is our condition now? We all know. What is the reason? Ignorance is pointed out. So keeping this knowledge is the great labha. Knowledge is the greatest labha or greatest profit. All the Upanishads pointed out that this particular knowledge about yourself is the greatest profit which you are going to get in this human birth. This profit is not given to any other birth. All the beings which don't have human mind are not qualified for this knowledge, therefore they will not have this greatest wealth or profit. Ahara nidra bhaya maitunam cha samanyam etat pashubhir naranam buddhir hitesham adhiko visheshaha buddhir vihina pashubhis samana. Whatever we are having in human life in the form of ahara, animals also have ahara, we also are trying for ahara. Nidra, animals also want to have sleep, we also want to have sleep. Animals also have fear of life or fear of death, we also have fear of death. And maithunam, animals also want sense pleasures and try to propagate its own species, we also have same like for sense pleasures. So human being cannot be proud about himself as long as he continues in this level. So what is the differentiating criterion? Buddhir hi tesham adhiko visheshaha. This buddhi, the thinking mind, the reasoning mind, koham, who am I, from where I have come, what is the purpose of my life, what I am going to do in this human life, what are all the sadhanas I have to do, what is the ultimate goal, how I will get it. So this thinking mind is the differentiating criterion which makes this human species or humanity, you can call, as a crown of this creation. Entire creation is governed by now or ruled by only this species. 1 lakh 1 crore years before also animals like dog was barking, now also it was barking. Dog doesn't have any goal of life. It may be a international winner, the dog. Nowadays there is a show, dog show, international dog shows. So it may be a winner of international dog show. After winning, you just imagine our reporters, newspaper reporters, because they don't have anybody to have interview, finally they came here and asked the dog, what is your aim, next aim, what is your goal? What it will do? It will simply bark. But the owner of the dog is having lot of goals with regard to this dog. So a self-conscious entity and self-judging entity is only buddhi. This buddhi is available only with human mind. Is it only for the sake of pleasures or wealth or power, or is it for some other higher purpose? Upanishads in our Vedic culture repeatedly say, you go through all your normal pursuits with regard to your physique, because you cannot avoid keeping yourself as a physical personality. You go through it, but don't stop there. You have to grow. To grow physically, you need not do anything. Just you have to alive and put some food in your mouth, that's all. But to grow mentally or psychologically or emotionally, you have to struggle. Struggling in the form of gaining the knowledge about my own personalities at all dimensions. Knowledge about my psychological personality, knowledge about my spiritual personality. Without this spiritual knowledge, any achievement in the human life is going to be an unfulfilled one. Everyone will have their own unfulfilled agendas at the time of death. All the life they had unfulfilled agendas. One after the other they were trying to fulfill. At least at the time of death he should be free from all agendas. But you ask him, that person also will say, I tried but nothing happened. Finally, next janma better luck. He himself is waiting for next janma to get that desires to be fulfilled. And like that, every janma is simply wasted. So by the grace of the Lord, today we are given the satsanga wherein we are going to study the one particular scripture called Gita. Bhagavad Gita we are going to study. There are so many Gitas, more than 100 Gitas are there. Gopika Gita, Bhikshu Gita, like that. But this Gita is having a special status. It is Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavata Uktam Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavan himself has told. So this Gita is the sara, essence of entire Vedic teaching. Whatever we find in the Vedas, we can get from the Gita. The Vedic culture or Vedic teaching is not available for everyone. Lot of conditions are there to approach the Vedas. In those days, if a person is female gender, he is not at all allowed for Vedic Karmakanda at all. She can study the Upanishad, but she is not allowed for studying Karmakanda. And if a person is not initiated into Upavita, then also he is not allowed. So, lot of restrictions were there to have what is the teaching of Vedic, what is the Vedic teaching. So, out of compassion, Vyasacharya, one of the Bhagavad Avatara, who has divided the Vedas as Rig, Yajur, Sama, Atharvana. Same Vyasacharya thought, there are so many people, we call them Chaturtha Varnaha. Only a Brahmana or a Kshatriya or a Vaishya was allowed to study the Vedas. A Shudra was not allowed to study the Vedas. Shudra means a person who was not initiated into Gayatri, who has not initiated into Vidya Upavita. So therefore, plenty of people don't have the access to the Vedic teaching. Therefore, let me write a great epic called Mahabharata. So he wrote the Mahabharata with 1 lakh shlokas. In that Mahabharata only, along with the stories, along with the dharma preached in the Vedas, he has given the Vedantic teachings also here and there. And one portion is this Bhagavad Gita. Mahabharata war is going to start. First day, all the armies were arrived. Arjuna got some confusion in his mind regarding the dharma, dharma. So he has requested the Lord Krishna to remove his delusion. Lord Krishna taught entire Vedic teaching, not only Vedantic teaching. Vedantic teaching means the teaching which teaches about our real infinite nature. Purva Mimamsa or Karmakanda portion of the Veda teaches how to get this knowledge, how to prepare ourselves to get this knowledge. So in Gita you can see plenty of sadhanas were given by the Lord as a preparation. And of course, the Vedantic last word that you are the infinite, you are the embodiment of security, you are the embodiment of peace, you are the embodiment of happiness. This teaching also we can see there. So out of compassion, our Vyasacharya has given this Gita. He was the reporter of the dialogue between the Bhagavan Krishna and the Arjuna. Therefore, since it was told by Bhagavan Krishna, it is called Bhagavad Gita. There are plenty of commentaries. Even before Shankaracharya's time, Shankaracharya himself says that there were plenty of commentaries. Commentaries means bhashyas. Bhashyas means explanations for the words of this Gita portion. But those commentaries are not available now. Only Shankaracharya's commentary was the oldest one which is available now. After Shankaracharya, so many acharyas, Ramanuja Acharya, Madhu Acharya, all the acharyas, they have written the commentary on these 700 shlokas. Gita is having 700 shlokas. More than 200 commentaries are there only in Sanskrit. And in other languages, maybe thousands. Many people took this Gita and they got the life-giving teachings from this particular Shastra. So, it is very difficult for us to know what is the actual teaching of the Gita. Because everyone when comments, suppose somebody says, husband says to wife, you are like a moon. Your face is like a moon. Chandramukhi. You are so beautiful like a moon. Wife naturally understands why it is told, what it is told. But another commentator came. Somebody, a friend, family friend. Hey, your husband is scolding you. Scolding? No, he told my face is like a moon. See, like a moon means there is another meaning. Moon is with all pits and boulders. So, it is not even. So, like that your face also is with all pimples and dots. So, one commentary. So, naturally, wife got confused. In which sense he has told my husband. Of course, another neighborhood lady came. Hey, what is happening? No, my husband told that my face is Chandramukhi. Like a Chandra. Oh, that means he is putting you down. Then again she got confused. Already one more commentary has come. Now, another commentary says, like a moon, 15 days it is bright, another 15 days it is dull. Like that you are a moody girl, he is telling. So, then now the confusion has come to the wife. In which sense my husband has told Chandramukhi. So similarly, the purpose of commentary is to make us to understand the actual real teaching of the scripture. But in course of time, as even everybody started giving commentaries over that, they can give commentary according to their knowledge only, their perception only. So lot of confusions are added. Shankaracharya himself says, before his period, there are a lot of commentaries which gave lot of confusions to the public. Therefore only, to remove all these confusions, I am writing the commentary. He says in his commentary. But those commentaries, fortunately, not available now. He wrote commentary and removed all the confusions and went out. After Shankaracharya, so many acharyas came, so many commentators came in all languages. Then they started commenting on this. So that much important text this Gita is, why everybody wanted to comment. There is so, see, if they want to comment, they can comment Mahabharata other portion also. Na? 1 lakh shlokas are there in Mahabharata. Only 700 shlokas everybody took and they were starting quarreling with their ideas. Not physically, but with their ideas. So this Gita is having that much status. What it is? It is Smriti Prasthana. See, entire Siddhanta or entire teaching of the Veda or Vedanta stands on 3 pillars. One pillar is Shruti Prasthana. The teachings given as it is in the Vedic texts or Vedantic texts. Second is Smriti Prasthana. Shruti is not written by any individual nor by any Rishi. Rishis were the people who have discovered these eternal truths, It is the words of Shruti, is the words of Bhagavan himself. Nishvasitam Brahma. Upanishad itself says, it is as it is the Bhagavan's breathing. When the creation comes, along with the creation, this Veda also come. And when the creation is dissolved, along with the creation, Veda also goes back to the Lord. So, we consider it as the Lord's words, a manual to the creation, how to use this product. When a producer releases his product, naturally he gives a manual. What is our habit? Safely we will remove the all the coverings, packages, take the manual, put it in the almirah and straight away starting using it. Because of wrong using, when it gets short circuited, then only we will search for manuals. Same thing in our life also. As even the humanity has been created as a ruler of the entire creation, Bhagavan has given the manual and the mind to understand that manual. If mind is not there, manual is not useful. If manual is not there, mind will not get any knowledge. So he has given both manual and the mind. This is not there in any other species. Here, this Shrutis, being the words of the Lord, are not written by any individual. Apaurusheya Pramana, we call it in Shastra. And Rishis, like Vyasacharya, out of compassion, they wanted to elucidate the teachings of the Vedas, and they wanted to preach the Veda to all the people who are not cultured that much. If you want to go to museum, you cannot touch the museum items. Only very few people are allowed to touch the articles in the museum. Why? Because it is very precious. A child, newborn child has come. Mother will never give that child to any roadwala. Because why? Child is very precious for the mother. Similarly, this Veda, this Shruti was very, very precious in our culture. Therefore, it was not allowed to learn by everybody and anybody. So, they are given some prescriptions. If your life is according to these disciplines, if you are committed for knowledge, then only you are allowed to learn that. Otherwise, you will pollute it. But the teachings are available for everybody in the form of Smriti, Mahabharata, Ramayana. These are Itihasa Rupa Smriti. And 18 Puranas, same Vyasacharya wrote 18 Puranas, wherein all the Vedic teachings, Vedantic teachings were brought. So, here Gita stands as a Smriti Prasthana. And third one is Nyaya Prasthana, it is called. Any teaching should not contradict our logic, should not contradict the fact, and should not contradict the our practical day-to-day life experience. So, they call it Shruti, Smriti, Nyaya. These three. Shruti also must be there. It is a fact revealed by the Lord himself. And Smriti is there. It is verified by many people. It is not against the reasoning mind also. In Vedic teaching, you cannot find out any illogical thing at all. Only you don't know, therefore you think that it is illogical. Or you are not ready to know or ready to learn, therefore you think, as long as you don't know, it is illogical as far as you are concerned only. So, Nyaya Prasthana, the same Vyasacharya wrote Brahma Sutra, wherein all the Vedantic teachings he has brought and discussed very elaborately and made us to understand that there is no controversy among the Vedic teachings. Four Vedas are there. One Veda can tell this one. Another Veda can tell another one. Like that it is not there. All the four Vedas come to the same conclusion about the human dignity called infinitude is the fact. All the four Vedas say, gives the same teaching that this world which we are separating as a wanted world and unwanted world. I have two worlds in my life. Everyone has wanted world and unwanted world. So, this world is actually not having two portions, it is having only one thing called reality, and that is consciousness, which is nothing but you yourself. You are the world, you are the God, you are the embodiment of security, you are the embodiment of peace. All the four Vedas teaches the same teaching. So he has brought the all the Vedantic teaching. That is, Vedantic teaching means a teaching which deals with the facts of life. And Vedic teaching, generally we call it Karma Kanda or Purva Mimamsa, was again written by Purva Mimamsa Sutra was written by Jaimini Rishi, Vyasacharya, Vyasa's disciple. He made the disciple to write the sutras for the Karma Kanda or Purva Mimamsa. So all these three, Shruti, Smriti and Nyaya, constitutes the philosophy or the facts of our life. So Gita being the Smriti's Prasthana, it is commented by everyone. All the Acharyas try to establish their own Siddhanta, they started commenting on that. As far as we are concerned, we will approach the Gita as a teaching for our practical spiritual life. Gita can be approached in many ways. Our corporate people, those people who work in corporate sector, business people use it for business purpose. It has something to tell about business also. And army people, of course, learn something from Gita with regard to knowledge of the army or war. Everybody approaches it in one idea. Yoga people, Hatha Yoga people have something in the Gita. Everyone has some teaching in the Gita. But as a spiritual seeker, if you approach the Gita, it reveals our real spiritual nature, and because of which knowledge, our life is going to be a happy affair. Everyone wants to be happy. Where it is available, since I don't know, I am knocking the wrong door. Knocking the coffee door, and I ask, please give me ice cream. So when the person says, there is no ice cream, it is coffee showroom. Then we say, you are hiding the ice cream and therefore I will not leave you as long as you give ice cream. He says, I don't have ice cream. So wealth says automatically, I can give you only money, I cannot give you happiness, I can give you comforts, I can give you gadgets, I can give you good bedroom, AC room, but I cannot give you sleep. And every individual, whether they are our parent, our wife, our children, they are telling, I cannot give you happiness. I can make you feel that you are amongst us, that's all. Being with others doesn't determine our happiness. Being with others, being in a crowd, doesn't determine the security. I am in market crowd, therefore I am secure. I cannot say. So living with others doesn't guarantee my happiness. Living with plenty of wealth doesn't guarantee my happiness. They say, we have some role in your life, but we cannot make you happy in your life. Everybody says. Quarrel comes between husband and wife. Wife will tell, 20 years before marriage happened, that time itself my father told, don't go for this boy. Now I understood. After 20 years. That means what? All the 20 years, it was carefully preserved. Then this man also will tell, that time itself my mother also told, what to tell, I have selected wrong. That means you cannot expect purnatva, completeness from any individual or from any gadget or from any situation in the world. Where it is that purnatva or happiness? Fortunately it is with me. Only thing is, I am not searching in that direction. A person lost the ring in a Mamangam tank, they call it. In Tamil Nadu, there is a tank. It's a holy tank. When the Saturn moves from one place to another place, Griha Payarchi, they call it. So when it happens, generally we'll take a holy dip in that Mamangam tank. It is in Kumbakonam. So this person went there to take the holy dip. In the process, he has lost the ring. He wanted to search, but lot of crowd he found. So he started searching on the road. Then another man came, What you are searching? I have lost the ring, sir. This man also started helping. Seeing two people searching for something, again third man joined, fourth man joined. You can try this. You act like searching, immediately another man will come and ask, what happened? Oh, I have lost something. Oh, where? The ring is lost, where? He also will help you in searching. Similarly, everybody started searching. It became a big crowd. One man, he asked the person, what you are searching? Ring. Where you lost? He asked. In that Mamangam tank, I have lost. Then why you are searching here? Now I found it is convenient to search here. There is no people. So, it is convenient to search here, therefore I am searching. And we laugh at this joke, but actually our daily life is like that only. Where it is not, we are searching for it. Upanishad says it is with us. If it is not with us, suppose, we should be unhappy whenever we are with ourselves. Daily we are with ourselves, without any world, in our sleep. In our sleep, there is no world at all. There is no money. There is no conducive situation. There is no person in my life. But I am available with myself. That time how I am? Very, very happy. When I am with myself, I am very, very happy. That itself shows that what Upanishad says, that you are the source of happiness. Suppose if I am not getting happiness or joy in my sleep, nobody will go for sleep. Nobody will sleep. Keeping the mirchi powder in the eyes, they will keep themselves awake. Even if a person is bribing us 1 crore rupee, I will give 30 days, you should not sleep. If anybody says, we will say, I will give 2 crore, you try. So sleep is a thing very, very important in my life. Every day, 6 hours or 7 hours, I am alone with myself, with my real nature. Even the idea of my body is not there. The body becomes an object. So I am with myself. So Upanishad says, take that as a clue. You say, as soon as you got up from the sleep, what you say? Yesterday night I slept, sir. Well, I slept well. I am happy, you say. How can you say when you have not experienced that happiness? When you have not experienced that happiness, happiness of being yourself, happiness of being aloof from the entire creation, when you have not experienced that happiness, how can you say, I slept well, I was happy? So Upanishad gives this as a clue and takes us little by little slowly that you are the source of happiness. You are the source of security. In sleep, I did not have any fear. So, this is the fact revealed by the entire Vedic culture, and it is going to be given in the form of Bhagavad Gita through the mouth of the Lord. Whether we agree with the reasoning, logic or not, simple faith that Bhagavan Krishna is my well-wisher, he will not tell lie. He might have told lie for to his mother with regard to butter, but my Krishna will not tell lie to me, because he doesn't have any selfish aim. By telling lie, he is not going to get any selfish aim. Bhagavan doesn't have any selfish aim. He is already Purna Vastu. Whether we are going to learn the Gita or not, he doesn't bother. But it is for us to utilize this great scripture. So every individual in our culture should study this scripture. Gita, Bhagavad Gita. Whether it is female or male, householder or sannyasi, youth or old, everybody should get this knowledge which is given by Lord himself. So, very hearing. We are not going to do something after hearing the Gita. Very hearing made Arjuna as a clear man. As a man freedom from all confusions. After preaching entire 700 shlokas, Bhagavan asked, Tachideta Shrutam Partha, anything entered in your ears? Yes. He did not expect that Arjuna would have received the teaching nicely or devotedly. Something entered in your ears? Yes. Then Arjuna says, Nashto Moga Smritir Labdha Tat Prasadat Mayachuta my moha is gone, delusion is gone. What a great relief. It happens in our life. All my delusions have gone. Sat prasada by your teaching, by your great verse. Sitosmi gata sandegaha harishye vachanam tadai. Without any doubts in my life, with regard to dharma or adharma, with regard to the purpose of life, with regard to the means of getting that goal, I don't have any doubts. I have a clear mind to decide my course of life, and I have the strength born out of this wisdom. I have the strength to face the life as it comes. Arjuna asked, I find that this is a dharmic action, should I fight or not? But Bhagavan would have told, you fight. I am your well-wisher, I am telling you fight. That much only one sloka he might have told and stop. But Bhagavan started, Atma Anatma Viveka, Ishvara Jagat Viveka, Jagat Jiva Viveka. So many things unwanted as far as Arjuna is concerned. Arjuna asked, should I fight or not? I found killing my elders is a, for the sake of money is a papa. I have the doubt whether it. So instead of showing the Vishwarupa Darshana at the 11th chapter, Bhagavan Krishna immediately, he might have showed, Maya Ivaite, Nikata, Puru, I have already killed them, you fight. He did not give any order. Because giving order or making other person to obey to our orders is a temporary solution. Instead of giving order and making him to obey, you educate him, you teach him, so that he will have the capacity to analyze the life situation wherever he is, whatever situation he may be in future. Nobody can accompany anybody into the entire life, because all come and join at one particular point and get departed at the particular point. A child comes to the mother's life only after 30 years. The child is available with the parent only another 30 years. Child is alive, parent goes. Or parent is alive, child also goes. So nobody comes with us up to our end. Nobody comes with us up to our end. Wife doesn't come to my life as long as I am 25 or 30. So, but I am coming with myself all the time. So I should be free from all delusions and confusions. How it is possible? I should make this mind a pure mind, a clean mind, a mind devoted for certain principles in life, a mind which is knowledgeable about the purpose of life, and a mind which knows the means to get that purpose. So all these teachings we will get from the Gita in the coming classes. So we will pray to the Lord to bless us to have this satsanga every Saturday evening, 4:30 to 5:30, we will have this satsanga, and we will learn. I also will learn together, because telling means I have to learn four times, referring this book commentary, that commentary, so many books. So I also am getting benefited. So we will pray to the Lord to bless us to continue in this satsanga. With the prayerful attitude, we will try to attend this satsanga every week. And I request all of you to have a Gita book whenever you come to this class, because when the shloka is chanted, you also can chant. A mere chanting, Bhagavan says, a mere chanting of Gita reserves a place in heaven. Suppose if anybody is not interested in moksha or Bhagavan, if anybody is interested in dance music party which is happening in the heaven, the shortest method he has given. In those days, getting place in heaven means you have to do Ashwamedha Yaga or Rajasuya Yaga. Those Yagas you cannot even imagine. Here Bhagavan says, one time if a person completely reads this, I have reserved a seat in the heaven. But our purpose is not heaven. Our purpose is going beyond heaven. But still, if anybody has that desire, at least for the fulfillment of that desire, you can chant, because it's the words of the Lord. Bhagavan vacha, like that. When Bhagavan vacha is happened, why you ask the other person to vacha? When Bhagavan himself has told, this is the thing, this is the life, this is the purpose, why you bother from another, to get words or guidance from another person? So I request all of you to bring a book, maybe small chanting book also,
or with meaning, whatever it may be. But don't refer here. This is only for chanting purpose. Because when you start referring, you will not hear the class. After going to home, you can refer. So you pray to the Lord to continue this satsanga. Om Krishnaya Vasudevaya Haraye Paramatmani Pranada Kleshanashaya Govindaya Namo Namaha. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavashishyate. Om Shanti 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 Harihi Om Tatsat Sri Ramakrishna Arpanamastu.